Adelante. Los campos misioneros nos esperan.
This is the story of Etta Faith Stewart, imparted as she sat with us around the dinner table in the kitchen at El Hogar, or sitting in the low-backed rocking chair in my room, but later in her own room lying on her bed. An amazing thing was revealed as material was gathered from time to time. Her life was so full that it could not all be used, and much has been left out. Also, because in relating some incident, the injustice and hurt she suffered might cause a shadow to be cast on those who had brought it upon her. Since her passing, letters have come in from friends with such expressions as this: "We are sad over the loss of our dear Sister Faith. The world has lost a beautiful character and saint of God. Oh, how shall we miss her? But she lived a wonderful life, and many will be the souls she will claim when Jesus comes." And again, "Death should not be distressing or shocking to mankind, it being expectant to all. But how often nature forces us to recognize deeply the passing of a dear friend, counselor, and guide. Sister Stewart met all these qualities, and now she has laid down the baton on earth to take her place alongside the many warriors of the cross who have gone on before. She was a friend of the friendless, and her blessed memory I shall embalm among the choicest of my recollections." Telegrams came in from the Minister of Education, Havana, Cuba, and the Business College in Cuba, and also from the United States. "She was one of the plainest and humblest of God's servants, who always sought out the destitute and forsaken in life, who, like the Apostle Paul, made herself all things to all men, that I might by all means save some," 1 Corinthians 9:22. "Yet at her death, the mail received ranged from coast to coast." We will just insert one letter from out of the pile of mail. It is brief and a fair sample of the rest. Bradenton, Florida. "Dear Sisters Henry and Martin, thank you so much for sending me word of Sister Stewart's death. We all knew that she could not be with us many years, yet word of her passing gave us a shocked, hushed, and lonely feeling. Though she has gone, she has left behind a glorious inspiration, an example of self-sacrifice, a warm love for mankind, for the suffering and underprivileged. Her great family will miss her guidance and presence. May those who have worked with her be anointed to carry on the great work she has been doing. God grant them much wisdom. I well remember when she first went to India. I had a long talk with her in Anderson just a short time before she went to Cuba, and I was so happy to have her in our home twice in the past 2 years. Many persons have found a better way of life because of her. She was truly rich in the things of God. May God reward her. God bless you all. Sincerely, Bird B. Grinewald, daughter of E. E. Byram." Harold Barber, pastor of the Church of God, Essex, Maryland, author of the book Weight of the Word and other books, wrote an article which we have added to this chapter. It is entitled In Memoriam, Sister Etta Faith Stewart, Missionary to Cuba. Finis has been written to the life of a faithful warrior of the cross of Calvary in the passing of our beloved Sister Etta Faith Stewart, who departed this life on June 9, 1958, in our home in Essex, Maryland. Her life has been long and fruitful in the great vineyard of our Lord. She was born in Linton, Iowa, on February 14, 1878, and for the past 52 years has been a devout servant of God and humanity. She spent 43 years on mission fields in India and the island of Cuba. She leaves no surviving relatives to mourn her passing, yet there are thousands of brothers and sisters in the Lord, and a host of little children in Cuba, whose hearts are heavy because she is gone from our midst. Even though we may mourn her passing, there is great consolation in the fact that our loss is her gain. She has been faithful to her master, and now has been raised to a higher realm where the sorrows and limitations of the earthly do not affect her. In God's eternal garden in the midst of paradise, there is a new flower blooming today to help pervade the atmosphere of heaven. Servant of God, well done! Thy glorious warfare's past. The battle's fought, the race is won, and thou art crowned at last. Anonymous. Let faith exalt her joyful voice, and now in triumph sing, O grave, where is thy victory, and where, O death, thy sting? Isaac Watts. The stars shall shine for 1,000 years, 1,000 years and a day, but God and I will live and live when the stars are passed away. Anonymous. Since God sent Sister Stuart our way and permitted us the privilege of ministering unto her in the closing days of her earthly career, I feel it only right to share some of the blessings of that experience. Sister Stuart had been sick for some time and suffered much that no one knew about, and for the great burden resting upon her heart for the promotion of God's cause, continued to press the battle on. While traveling with Brother and Sister Eldon C. Henry and Sister Virginia Pletcher en route to Plainfield, New Jersey, to keep an appointment with the church there, she was stricken seriously ill. Upon arrival in Plainfield, she was put to bed, and prayer was made unto God for her healing. She was ministered unto in a marvelous way in the home of Elders Norman and Minnie Terry, pastors of the Church of God in Plainfield. These pastors and their people deemed it a great honor to have her in their midst and be privileged to care for her, as did we after she came into our home. May God richly reward them for their labor of love in this hour of sickness. Sister Phyllis Martin was called from Cuba to come and escort her back to Cuba, but Sister Stuart, being too ill to make the trip, was compelled to remain there for several days. Word reached us on May 19th that she was in a serious condition, and wife and I immediately went to see her. Wife decided to remain in New Jersey and serve as nurse and helper in ministering unto her, and relieve Sister Virginia Pletcher that she might return home to Plymouth, Indiana. After a few days in Plainfield, she requested to be moved to Essex, and an ambulance was secured, and she was brought to our home, 175 miles, arriving at 1:30 a.m. on May 23rd. The trip down here was rather hard on her, yet she was cheerful, and the ambulance crew handed her many bouquets, among them the statement that she was the best patient they had ever had. After being in our home a few days, we could realize the full meaning of her severe suffering, and the real beauty of her deep-rooted character showed forth. There were many blessings in store for those who ministered, as she manifested the sweetness of Christ who lived within her heart. We did our best to make her comfortable and fulfill her every wish. It was one of those Christian duties that becomes a cheerful privilege and affords the soul much reward. The saints here at Essex rallied to the opportunity of serving God by ministering unto his faithful servant, and constant care and watchfulness was maintained 24 hours a day for the entire time she was with us. As a church, we fasted and prayed earnestly that God would see fit to raise her up to his glory, but in his wise counsel, he saw fit to promote her from the earthly phase of his church to that heavenly phase which shall never know any more pain, sorrow, or heartache. During all of her sickness and suffering in our home, she maintained her definite stand upon the message of the gospel she had preached and practiced for 52 years. Repeatedly she said, "No doctor, no doctor." Her full trust and confidence was in the Almighty. This gave us great courage and helped us tighten our grip on the wonderful promises of God. It proved to me that the salvation she preached and possessed is not only good to live by, but also to die by. Many in the hour of intense suffering weaken and throw themselves upon the weak arm of flesh. God help us to be men and women who have genuine faith in Him and His promises and not flinch when the suffering comes. She maintained this stand unto the end. When the final summons came from God, she passed from this life as peaceful as a tiny baby going to sleep. And a few moments after her departure, the most pleasant and peaceful expression came over her countenance. It was a precious sight in the eyes of God, and in many ways to us also. It taught us that even death can be peaceful to the true saint of God. In fact, it's a transition from the earthly to the heavenly, and if we're ready, it can be a wonderful experience. Our hearts were torn with grief as we saw her depart from us, but we realized our loss was her gain. Her suffering was over forever, and another faithful traveler had reached home safely. We hated to see this fruitful life come to an end, but this is an appointment we must all keep. Today, she is enjoying her reward and shouting the praises of victory with the millions who have gone on before. May her life ever be an incentive to those of us who remain in this world to live a faithful and devoted life to God. This life burned up and burned out for God, and may its rays continue to lighten the pathway of those who knew her while she lived. The days following her departure were filled with duties associated with the preparation and arrangement for shipment of the body back to Cuba, where funeral services and burial took place. There were many duties associated with this that ordinarily do not come with the death of a loved one. She, being an American citizen in her own country and being shipped to another country for burial, necessitated contact with the Cuban consul and the filing of proper reports with him, which took some time. After all official business was cared for and proper release of the body was secured, it was flown back to Cuba, where it was laid to rest in the cemetery at Santiago de las Vegas to await the general resurrection of all the dead. Now that Sister Stewart is gone from our midst, shall we pray that God will help us not to lose the burden for Cuba? This dear sister didn't lose it even in the face of death. She came to the end of life's toilsome road with a plea that Cuba be warned she's in danger. Give us, O God, that burning passion for souls that will cause us to dedicate our lives for them, as did this mother in Israel. If you have been praying for Cuba and supporting that work with your offerings, please do not discontinue this service to God and humanity. Cuba needs you more now than ever. Make the proper change in the address and continue to send your offerings to support that work, and God will bless your efforts. Harold Barber. The following poem was read at the funeral service. E. Faith Stewart by Grace G. Henry. Called the Master from the heavens. Life is but a few short days. There are souls in sin and darkness. Who will go to the highways? Sitting on the sandy seashore, gazing prayerfully on high. Lord, I love to do thy bidding. Who could better go than I? So in India's land of sunshine, land of heathen darkness too, there she labored on in patience, seeking all his will to do. Then in later years of service, on Cuba's sunny shore, went she forth with heart of gladness, laboring for the lost once more. Years of hardships and of labor, sowing, watering here and there, giving time and strength and knowledge, spending many hours in prayer. So from highways and from hedges, here and there along the way, stands an army of 3,000 souls who love the Lord today. And from the lonely highways came the children's piteous cry, "Come and save us, O ye Christians, come and save us, or we die." Little hands and little faces, little hearts to mourn her loss? For did not the loving Savior die for them upon the cross? So in loving service given, these were gathered in her care, given shelter from the hardships of a world of sin and care. But the busy hands are folded in an everlasting rest, and the faithful heart is quiet in a tender, loving breast. And the call to come up higher, the promised crown to wear, has been answered, and today she dwells among the blessed up there. Cuban Christians, let us rally, and the ensign proudly bear. If we labor here in patience, there we too the crown may wear. Scattered all over the island, there are the faithful ministers and laymen still carrying on. At Los Pinos stands El Hogar, with its merciful open door, full to capacity. Phyllis Martin was unanimously elected by both the ministers of Cuba and Americans on the board of directors to be the president of the First Church of God National of Cuba and overseer of the mission there, in the vacant place caused by the death of E. Faye Stewart. In the early part of June of 1958, a young girl by the name of June Blackburn, who had graduated from high school and come to Cincinnati, Ohio, to attend God's Bible School and also to study music at the Conservatory of Music, became interested in going to Cuba. She had studied 2 years in Cincinnati, majoring in music and having a desire to become a teacher of piano. June is a girl of stalwart character, dressing modestly and standing firm for the true doctrines of the Word of God. She is also exemplary in her life. No doubt God laid the desire to give, or, for that matter, to sacrifice, her summer to Cuba. We went down together, and she stayed through the summer months, doing the office work thoroughly and faithfully carrying out her specific duties while there. Then September came. I had already returned home after laboring there for 6 months, and Phyllis had returned to Cuba from her few weeks of rest in the United States. June returned home early enough to enter into the first semester for study of her loved music. But alas, as she had labored on in those 3 months of Cuba, something had happened to her. When she actually came to the hour of departure, she found it almost impossible to leave the work. She departed in tears, and when we met her at the campgrounds in Newark, Ohio, she said, "I have come, but I am not happy, and all desire to continue with my music has left me. I don't know if God wants me to go to Cuba, and I will not go unless I feel sure of His leading." We sat down in a secluded place on the grounds and there talked over the matter. "Have you ever told God that you are willing to go to Cuba?" we asked. "No, but I am willing." "Shall we get a group together and pray that God have His way and point to you His will?" "I will be very glad to have prayer to get this matter settled. I am so unhappy and unsettled that I must have some definite answer." So in one of the tents we gathered two or three interested friends, and kneeling there on the grass beside the bed, we poured out our hearts to God, asking that He help to settle this matter and give June peace concerning her call as His own holy will directed. We arose and went our way over the campgrounds, and several hours later she came to me in her quiet way, and in the low voice in which she always speaks said, "I might as well tell you that I am going to Cuba just as soon as it is possible." How we rejoice that God, who is ever providing all things for His people, has provided an assistant for Phyllis at a critical time when a helper was so very much needed. Thank God, and let us take heart, for our God is still providing as He sees fit. The work with the help of God moves on. We are building on the foundation laid so many years ago with sacrifice and prayers and tears and abundant faith. Havana, Cuba, is one of the known cities of the world, of 1.5 million souls, and only about 200 miles from Miami, Florida. Multitudes teem through the busy streets, and it is very evident to the close observer that every effort is being made to eke out a meager existence by thousands on the sunny isle. Down in Old Havana is Chinatown. There live some 20,000 Chinese men and 100 Chinese women. We saw but one small Pentecostal church. Also, in another section of Cuba, there are 10,000 more Chinese men. These men are pagan unless reached by the gospel. They are quiet, peaceful, and reserved, mingling very little among men of other nations. But they need Christ. We have not touched this part of the field in Cuba. There is the baby lift in another section of Cuba. In this great building, the constant murmur of hundreds of voices rises and falls as many waters. In the wall of this building is an opening. A mother may come and place her baby in the circular basket. Its weight rings a bell, and the people inside are notified. The baby is removed and cared for. Here, in all probability, it may remain until 21 years of age. It is fed, sheltered, clothed, and given some education. There are 1,000 children of various ages here, and the saddest part is that the walls that shelter them also shut out the saving knowledge of Christ. 1,000 young people will go forth in life benighted. Also, in homes everywhere, altars and shrines are erected with images where people may worship. In the great bus station stands a beautiful image of Caridad, patron saint of Cuba, and its story is this. One time a man was out in the channel in a small boat, and a great storm came up. He, in his despair, happened to see an image floating in the water. He pulled it out of the water and laid it in the boat. The storm ceased. This is one of the few colored saints. On September 8th, this saint is especially honored by Cuba with drinking, music, and dancing. There's a glass case about the image and places for worshipers to contribute. People come here to petition her and throw in an offering at the same time. In another section stands the noted Church of Our Lady of Mercy with its beautiful interior. It was built in 1775. The paintings are several hundreds of years old. Lorenzo the artist spent 7 years finishing the ceilings. The interior is beautiful, but the altars and images make one sad. At one place there is the 300-year-old statue, an image made to a supposed saint of the catacombs, with a deep wound in her neck. There is another altar where young ladies may petition a certain saint for a husband if they have not been able to secure one. Christian men and women look upon the darkness and superstition all about them and see the need of a great approach with the gospel message, and we realize that so far we have only begun in Cuba. Havana, with its 1.5 million souls, is a great mission field in itself. With 38 congregations scattered over various sections of Cuba, we still have a vast, untouched field ahead of us. Our Bible students are taking a 3-year Bible course and an educational course to prepare them to go out into these places and preach Christ. Their motto is, Adelante! Los campos misioneros nos esperan. Forward, the mission fields await us. So, with the foundation laid on faith in Christ and the great task ahead, hand in hand with the ministers of Cuba and the co-workers in our own country, we march forward to the waiting fields, for they are ripe unto the harvest. The End of Highways and Hedges, The Life of E. Faith Stewart, Missionary to India and Cuba, by Grace G. Henry, circa 1958, read by Joel Erickson. Published in 2008 by Timeless Truths Publications. This audio recording may be freely copied for the furtherance of God's kingdom. For more audio recordings and literature, encouraging all to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, please visit timelesstruths.org.